Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise, and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Good evening, Tree Seekers. How you doing? Hope you had a good weekend. Sorry, I got a bit of a sore throat. Not a sore throat. I get into a yelling contest at a sports event here in Atlanta over the weekend and lost my voice. Oh, my God. So what you're hearing is not a cold. It's just stress-induced laryngitis. Oh, my God. Take a look around. The Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., the champagne glasses have been washed and dried, the streamers and confetti swept into the trash, and the Democrats are now ready to get down to business. And the first order of the day will be the reaction to Bush's speech about Iraq. What's it being called now? Way forward. Way forward. That's going to happen on Wednesday, but everybody knows what he's going to say. This wide-eyed jackass is going to come out and talk about, I don't know what, dedication and courage and so on and so forth, as if he understood any of those terms. What a freak. Well, that's what it's going to be about, and we will provide coverage. As a matter of fact, I think Wednesday night he begins talking at 9 o'clock. We go on this program at 9:06, so we will pick it up and carry it live. We can't come on exactly at 9 o'clock because of commitments up and down the line to our affiliates, but we will, that'll be Wednesday. And Tony Snowjob isn't previewing any of the speech for the crack White House press corps. No. But there have been plenty of leaks, and according to senators who've met with Raisin Brain, it looks like he wants an escalation of 20 to 40,000 troops into Iraq, into two provinces specifically, and Baghdad. The provinces are the areas where the so-called insurgents have the most control. And Iraq, where they have the most control, other than the Green Zone, which I guess we control. Oh, and a jobs program for unemployed Iraqis. This is brilliant. I know what you're thinking. If Dim Sun can't design a successful jobs program for unemployed Americans, what the hell is his plan for Iraq? A jobs program for Iraq. I've heard everything now. I mean, this is like after we nuked Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We go in and say, okay, we have jobs program here. Here are a bunch of brooms and dustbins. We want you to sweep up the broken glass and the arms and legs and stuff that are laying around. Is that what they're going to do? They're going to wash bloodstains off the street of downtown Baghdad? A jobs program. Where are they going to go to work? At the local supermarket? A nice office tower? I know. Maybe the Ministry of the Electricity comes on 6 hours a day. Maybe they can go work there. A jobs program. Farming? No, not farming. Truck driving. Oh, that's good. Get blown up. a jobs program. Jesus Christ, he's going to get out there and talk about this, and the dumbass Americans are going to be sitting out there going, well, hey, that's a pretty good deal. Jobs program. Hey, Marge, what do you think of that?
Well, I'll tell you, Frank, I don't know. I'm still passing blood, Frank. I can't think about Iraq.
God. I'm betting that the Iraqis don't want the jobs Bush has in mind for them. What do you want to bet? And it also begs the question as to why it is only now that the Bush crime family is getting around to thinking about this kind of an idea. Oh, let's go destroy the cradle of civilization. Let's blow up all the artifacts that are 6,000 years old. Well, that's old stuff, as Bush would say. Damn, you know, it's 2006. You're talking about stuff that goes all the way back to, I don't know, back there before the Lord. You know, hell, that stuff doesn't matter. Go in, blow it up, destroy everything. But a jobs program? Why didn't they have an idea, they being the Bush crime family, an idea of what sort of social programs would be needed before we bombed this poor, hapless country into oblivion? Well, the answer is very simple. Nobody gives a damn about Iraq. The Bush crime family doesn't give a damn about the Iraqi people, nor did the Clintons, nor did Pappy Bush. They don't get this. Doesn't mean anything. Jobs program, Jesus, and that the part of that that really turns my stomach is so many Americans are going to say, well, yeah, see, Bush is really a good Christian man trying to do for those Iraqis. Oh my God. So that's what we're going to hear, some of the stuff we're going to hear from Bush Wednesday night. The question, the only question that matters at this point is what will the Democratic Party's reaction be? What will be the reaction of Democrats in the House and the Senate? Now, we'll have a little bit of an answer from Nancy Pelosi, who was on the on Face the Nation yesterday with Bob Schieffer, but Pelosi doesn't really answer, which you'll hear. This is a part that's really starting to piss me off. I mean, seriously and severely. 70% of the American people want this over. The other 30% are half-wits. They listen to Hannity or watch O'Reilly. They don't count. They're morons. But the other 70% of Americans want us out of there. And Pelosi sits there and waffles and hedges. And all of a sudden, I watched her, and I had the feeling that I saw a forked tongue darting in and out of her mouth. I hope that's not the case. Oh, dear God, I hope it's not the case. We'll see. We'll have some. You make your own decision. We'll play some of that sound for you tonight. And also, this half-wit Fox News caster, Tony Snow. What else have we got? Way forward. Oh, my God. Way forward. Hey, jackass, the only thing you should be thinking about is way out. Let's take some calls real quick. What the hell? Why not? Let's not make everybody wait. Philip, San Diego, welcome to the program. Hey, Philip.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, can you believe this, huh? Unbelievable. He wants to spend billions of dollars now to create jobs. Now, did he create any jobs yet or fix any of the stuff down in rural Mississippi?
Not that I'm aware of. That was all turned over to good American corporations who have done a damn fine job of making sure that people are going mad.
But we're going to go ahead and do that. My theory today is with this 20,000 to 40,000 troops, first of all, I don't know where he's going to get it from. From what I hear, there's only like 9,000 available to be redeployed now as it is. But with the news out that Israel is planning an attack on Iran, and by the way, this report and this plan was out in 2005 during the Ariel Sharon administration. They talked about it. There was a story on the UK Times Online in 2005 about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight, as a matter of fact. That's one of the things I have in the hopper here to bring up, the discussions that apparently have been held. And I say apparently because in the Middle East, everything is a lie. Everybody lies where it concerns the Middle East. But apparently there's discussions and plans have been made by the Israelis with the United States backing every move to a preemptive low-yield nuclear attack on Iran. I hope that this is not true, although the sources are fairly reliable. This is not coming from the weirdo press. This is coming from the establishment press in the U.K.
And this has been building up for a while, and they've been talking about it for a while. And I'm thinking that, you know, with Democrats in control of the Congress, there's no way that Bush can go in and preemptively attack another country like he did with Iraq. But if we go in support of our great ally, Israel, he may be able to do that. And that's what's scaring me about this now.
That's right. That's very true. All right, listen, got to do commercials. Thanks, Philip. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll talk again, I promise. All right, quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
You know, they're obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
Mission in Iraq is a vital mission. The mission is one that will be that we obviously couldn't complete if we didn't fulfill our goals.
21 past the hour. As our last caller was talking about the subject was talking about the Israeli plans, it's all over media except American media. You can go to Azerbaijan news website. You can go to the Times Online, which is the Sunday Times in the UK. The Israeli press, Haaretz. It's all over the place. That you can go to antiwar.com. You can go to where else? Consortium News. You can go to Alexander Coburn's website. It's all over the place. And I got this email from Gordon. He writes, the subject line is, Israel, please don't do it. The email says, if anything, more than ever, I'm becoming increasingly convinced that the mantra of those of us seeking any hope for peace should be directed toward Israel. Please, Israel, don't do it. Gordon writes, well, it seems the Bush crime family is running out of options to counter the growing skepticism regarding their designs in the Middle East. It's apparent they have a dirty trick up their sleeve. Their trump card yet to be played is an unprovoked bombing of Iran by proxy, which will be carried out by Israel. Why the urgency to increase our ground troops in Iraq? Is it merely by chance that we're witnessing a surge of our military which matches Israeli claims that a, quote, window of opportunity, close quote, will close after the spring of 2007 concerning Iran's nuclear program? To our Jewish friends, please beware. You have staked your fortune with those Americans who would see the destruction of Israel beneath the shadow of a poisonous mushroom cloud is one of the most wonderful events in the entire history of humanity. In the warped mind of the religious extremists in the U.S., Israeli citizens are nothing more than cannon fodder. In an attempt to cook the books to somehow make the ramblings of a madman high on mushrooms seem credible, the guy who wrote Revelation. To our Christian friends, do you really want to see your religion used in such an abusive fashion? Do you really think John Hagee, for example, can really force Jesus to return? What is the future of Christianity once the Messiah fails to return after all the carnage? And to our Muslim friends, don't take the bait. Your foe is both cunning and destructive. Did you ever question the future of your religion if all your holy places were suddenly reduced to rubble? Where would you travel for your pilgrimage if there's no Mecca? Who would feed your hungry, care for your children, or heal your sick and injured once all your natural resources are taken or rendered unusable? What's the future of your religion as Allah turns a deaf ear to the mother's cry as she holds her dying child? In closing, may I say one more time, Israel, please don't do it. It's from Gordon in Oklahoma City. From today.az, an op-ed piece talking about a statement published on Saturday by Israeli Brigadier General Oded Tira, Tira, T-I-R-A. This general said, quote, President Bush lacks the political power to attack Iran. As an American, striking Iran is essentially for our existence. We must help him pave the way by lobbying the Democratic Party, which is conducting itself foolishly, and U.S. newspaper editors. We need to do this in order to turn the Iranian issue to a bipartisan one and unrelated to the Iraq failure, end quote. Now, it goes on to say, General Tira proposes an even more aggressive political tactic. He says, quote, we must clandestinely cooperate with Saudi Arabia so that it also persuades the U.S. to strike Iran. For our part, we must prepare an independent military strike by coordinating flights in Iraqi airspace with the U.S. We should also coordinate with Azerbaijan the use of air bases in its territory and also enlist the support of the Azeri minority in Iran. In addition, we must immediately start preparing for an Iranian response to an attack, end quote. And this is insane stuff. Now, I'm starting to get a sense of why Bush has this dreamy, I'm not going to change course attitude and look in his eyes. This murderous son of a bitch really doesn't care. He doesn't care. And the religious right in this country, they don't care. They're hoping that such a thing will make Jesus smile and just get giddy and say, oh, look, everybody in heaven, they've finally done it. Time for me to go back. My God. The Consortiumnews.com. This is from the Times of London on Sunday. Israel has drawn up secret plans to destroy Iran's uranium enrichment facilities with tactical nuclear weapons. Two Israeli Air Force squadrons are training to blow up an Iranian facility using low-yield nuclear bunker busters, according to several Israeli military sources. The attack would be the first with nuclear weapons since 1945, when the U.S. dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it just goes on. And on and on. And now, did you see this on your evening news tonight? No, I don't think you did.
Pulling the troops out would send a terrible signal to the enemy. You know, the United States is weak.
Yeah, unlike you, being a colossus as you are. Look, let me say something. I'm going to talk about this tonight. So those of you who want to send an email to me or the station on which you hear this program or Nova M and call me an anti-Semite, go ahead. You know, I frankly don't give a damn. I really don't. But for bringing this topic up the way I'm bringing it up, I know I'll get those kinds of comments. I am sick and tired of U.S. foreign policy being linked to Israeli foreign policy. I really, really am. I hope Israel, like every state that has declared itself a state, I hope they can exist. I hope every state can exist. I hope we can all get along. I hope it all works out. But it's not going to work out. It isn't working out. And the one thing I'm very tired of, from having worked in media in this country for 40 years, all right, 35, I do know that where it concerns criticizing Israel, you are not supposed to do that. And in some instances, you're not allowed to do it. Now, that's just the way it goes. Call it anything you like. I don't care. I mean, you know, when you reference me about it, I really don't care. I'm going to get this said. The guy whom I was just quoting, Brigadier General, he's retired, Oded Tira, is the former Israeli Defense Force Chief Artillery Officer. He's the man. He's the one talking about an Israeli plan to launch low-yield nuclear weapons against Iran. Because the United States does not have the will to do it. Well, he doesn't know Dick Cheney and George Bush very well, does he? Paul Craig Roberts, writing at Counterpunch. He was the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration. He was associate editor of the Wall Street Journal, a journal editorial page, one of the most screamingly right-wing rags in the United States, and contributing editor of National Review, another right-wing rag. He is co-author of a book entitled The Tyranny of Good Intentions. This guy is about as right as you can get, right-wing as you can get. He writes at Counterpunch, British commentators report that, quote, the British media appears to be softening the Brits up for an attack on Iran, end quote. Robert Fox, writing in the First Post, January 6th, says, quote, suddenly the smell of Britain's being prepared for an attack on Iran is all pervasive, end quote. On January 7th, Paul Craig Roberts writes, the Jerusalem Post reported that Democratic House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer told the Israeli newspaper, the Jerusalem Post, that, quote, Iran with nuclear weapons is unacceptable and that the use of force against Tehran remains an option, end quote. The Jerusalem Post notes that, quote, Steny Hoyer is considered close to the Jewish community, and many Israeli supporters have hailed his elevation in the House, end quote. Hoyer, according to what Paul Craig Roberts is writing at Counterpunch, Hoyer was the Israel lobby's first victory over House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who preferred John Murtha for the post. Murtha was the first important Democrat to call for withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. On November 20th, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz reported that Bush said he would understand if Israel chose to attack Iran. Paul Craig Roberts goes on to say, Bush showed that he was in Israel's pocket when he blocked the world's attempt to stop Israel's bombing of Lebanese civilians and civilian infrastructure. Paul Craig Roberts goes on in this article and says the Israeli neoconservative plan, of which Bush may be a part or simply be a manipulated element, is to provoke a crisis with Iran in which the U.S. Congress will have to support Israel. Both the Israeli government and the American neoconservatives are fanatical. It is a mistake to believe that either will be guided by reason or any appreciation of the potentially catastrophic consequences of an attack on Iran. U.S. aircraft carriers sitting off Iran's coast are sitting ducks for Iran's Russian missiles. But the neoconservatives would welcome another Pearl Harbor. The U.S. media is totally unreliable, Roberts writes. It cannot go against Israel, and it will wrap itself in the flag just as it did for the invasion of Iraq. The American public has been deceived again, and believes that Iran is on the verge of possessing nuclear armaments to be used to wipe Israel off the map. The fact that Americans are such saps for propaganda makes effective opposition to the neoconservatives' plan for World War IV practically impossible. Large percentages of Americans still believe that Saddam Hussein was responsible for the 9/11 attack. Recent polls show that 32% of Americans still believe that Iraq gave substantial support to al-Qaeda, and 18% of Americans still believe that Saddam Hussein was directly involved in the 9/11 attack. Paul Craig Roberts goes on to say, even the London Times is in the grip of Israeli propaganda. In its report of Israel's plan to attack Iran with nuclear weapons, The Times says that Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has declared that Israel must be wiped off the map. It has been shown by a number of credible experts that this quote is a made-up concoction taken completely out of context. Ahmadinejad said no such thing. In a world ruled by propaganda, lies become truths. The power of the Israel lobby is so great that it has turned former President Jimmy Carter, probably the most decent man ever to occupy the Oval Office, and certainly the president who did the most on behalf of peace in the Middle East, into an anti-Semite, an enemy of Israel. The American media, from its conservative end to its liberal end, did its best to turn Carter into a pariah for telling a few truths about Israel's mistreatment of the Palestinians in his book, Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. As I previously reported, Paul Craig Roberts finishes up here, the neoconservatives believe that the use of nuclear weapons against Iran would force Muslims to realize that they have no recourse but to submit to the will of the Israelis and the United States. The use of nuclear weapons is being rationalized as necessary to destroy Iran's underground facilities, but the real purpose is to terrorize Islam and bring it to heel. Until the U.S. finds the courage to acquire a Middle East policy of its own, Americans will continue to reap the evil sowed by the Israel lobby. Paul Craig Roberts, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan Administration, Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, Contributing Editor of National Review, wrote that in the January 8 edition of Counterpunch.org, in the commentary section, you can find it online right now. Now, this stuff is starting to really, it's starting to worry me. There are certain things that I don't care whether we use punch ballots or paper ballots or Diebold machines. There are certain events in the Middle East that are so far beyond the control of the American electorate as to render the American electorate bystanders. I've said before and I'll say it again. Israel is not, in my opinion, some sort of sanctified entity that nobody is allowed to criticize. It is a government. It is a state. It is a country. And some of its policies are horrifying. And as long as Israel considers itself to be a state, I'll criticize, as long as I'm on the air, I'll criticize them when the occasion presents itself, as it is now. I don't want to go into a nuclear war in order to protect the state of Israel. I don't. I don't want two carrier battle groups off the coast of Iran ready to launch backup support strikes against Iran in order to satisfy the madness of some of these people. I don't. And I certainly will not sit here on this radio program until I lose the microphone and be silent while this crap is going on. This is what the preparations are about. There are powerful forces in Likud, the ruling party right now in Israel, who see the rise of Iranian power, whether it's real or not real, whether it's a result of the paranoia of members of Likud or not. They see the rise of Iranian power as something that absolutely must be destroyed. There's no negotiate or if, ands, or buts about this. Now, most of the people in the so-called Western world are talking about this. We're not in this country. You're not going to hear Wolf Blitzer bring this up. You're not going to hear ABC or CBS or NBC bring this up. You're not going to hear the asses on Fox News bring it up. And you're not going to hear it brought up on Air America. I don't know where you're going to hear it brought up, except here, in terms of radio. But by God, we'll bring it up. That's what this is about. That is one of the key factors in this lying deception that Bush is going to try to pull on the American public again Wednesday night. A surge. For what? We've already gone into Iraq, taken over their oil supplies, put in a puppet government, and executed their dictator. What the hell more are we supposed to be doing there? Well, apparently there's an answer to that question. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
I'm sure you know that there was a stink in New York today and New Jersey. A couple of emails on it. This ties into what I was just talking about. This is from Ron in Briarwood, New York. He writes, if Paris is the city of light, then New York is the city of smell, so this morning's news should not have caused such a stir. New York smells of freshly baked bagels and delicatessens and pizza parlors. In December, the vendors selling Christmas trees filled the streets with the smell of pine, chestnuts roasting on open fire. Springtime in New York is Central Park and Riverside Drive. Summer is the salty surf at Coney Island or Brighton Beach. My apartment building is United Nations of cooking aromas at mealtimes. Third floor is curry and other exotic Indian spices. Fifth floor is knockwurst and sauerkraut. Eighth floor, roast beef and mashed potatoes. Other smells are not so nice. So, what else is new? We cope. But the Music Factory wrote, hey, Mike, so Stupid makes his big speech Wednesday, and what happens Monday? Austin, Texas, shut down because of dozens of dead birds. Manhattan and New Jersey experience an unexplained odor. Miami has a suspicious package detonated. How come whenever the idiot head makes a move, we experience something that reminds us of how much danger we're in? Watch out! What's fake is real, and what's real is fake, and we're not supposed to be able to tell the difference. And then this, according to U.S. maritime industry sources, tanker captains are reporting an increase in onboard alarms from hazard sensors designed to detect hydrocarbon gas leaks and specifically methane leaks onboard their ships. However, the leaks are not emanating from cargo holds or pump rooms, but from continental shelves venting increasing amounts of trapped methane into the atmosphere. With rising ocean temperatures, methane is increasingly escaping from deep ocean floors. Methane is also 21 more times more capable of trapping heat in the atmosphere than is carbon dioxide. In fact, one of the major sources for increased methane venting is the Hudson Submarine Canyon, which extends into the Atlantic 400 miles from the New York, New Jersey harbor. Meanwhile, a strong natural gas odor was reported this morning in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Jersey City, Weehawken, and Newark. Last August, a similar unexplained gas odor sent people to the hospital in Staten Island and Queens. Although methane is odorless, natural methane venting is often accompanied by the venting of acrid hydrogen sulfide, a byproduct of bacterial decomposition. Hello? That's from the WayneMadstonReport.com. Hello! So what did people on that section of the East Coast smell this morning? Well, tune in to the Pigman, Rush Limbaugh, and he will continue to reassure you as your guts turn into poison from what's being dumped into the atmosphere. There's no such thing as global warming. That's just a liberal myth. Don't worry. But the email was right. Chucklenuts is going to make his speech Wednesday. So all of a sudden, today, ooh, let's not disagree. Ooh, let's send the troops. Let's let Israel make the preemptive nuclear strike. And then let's see if Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi can say no to George W. Bush. Huh? You think these people are from the Bush leagues? No pun intended. They're not. You think the people that have been running this government for 6 years, who are still in power, even though they've taken this country into hell, how do you think they're still in power? You know, we've tried to come to the nub of that. Why is it that there aren't millions of people out on the street throwing these sons of bitches out of office, literally, if that's what it takes? Why have we not had members of Congress defend the United States Constitution for a change? Because we all have been put to sleep and hypnotized by phony security threats. Yes, put to sleep, terrified. Crouched in the corner. Oh, let me pull the blankets over my head and go to sleep. I don't like this. No matter what this Bush administration has done, no matter how bad it has been, The American public has sat back on its collective ass and allowed it to happen. Just on and on and on. It's astonishing. Astonishing. And now this. And now it's all over the global press. What's going to happen? What the plans are. I don't know if it's going to happen, but what the plans are. So what do you think, truth seekers? Do you think we will have millions of people out in the streets protesting the U.S.-Iran war before it starts, the way we had millions of people out on the streets protesting the U.S.-Iraq war? What do you think? You think there are going to be signs that says, please, Israel, don't do it? What do you think? This combination of American Christian fundamentalist crazy people and the Likud party in Israel and a psychopath like Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these rat bastards, that's where we have wound up now. Here we sit. Here we sit. And you know the hell of it? We're just going about our business, you know? I took Molly to the playground today. You did what you did today. Everybody's just kind of sleepwalking through this. What's going to wake us up? What's going to wake us up when all of a sudden CNN plays martial music and we look up and it says, "My low, low megaton, low range, not all that bad. Bunker buster nuclear weapon was dropped on 14 sites in Iran this morning by the Israeli Defense Forces. President George W. Bush is requesting calm while he is ready to address a joint session of Congress about this latest." U.S. Pearl Harbor. Oh, and by the way, he's decided that the entire Constitution needs to be suspended just for a few weeks until we sort this out. Huh? Is that what we're waiting for? Is that what we're waiting for, Truth Seeker? Is it? Jeez, I wonder. Don't you? Don't you wish you had a crystal ball where you could just look ahead 6 months and see what's going on? Huh? God. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We'll take your phone calls, 800-989-1480. I'd like to know what you have to say about what I said in any respect. Daniel in Springfield, Missouri wrote in, hey, just a quick thought. I wanted to add in from watching the weekend flurries of pundits. I heard the story of Israel possibly nuking Iran once. Only once, and it was in a 20-second blip, either Saturday or Sunday. They mentioned that Israel had plans, so they heard from Israel commanders or people inside their military that plans were a possibility. The quick mention of nuking went along with a metaphoric blank worth of news about the 200 badly wounded and 75 dead soldiers who received the call back to Iraq letters. We talked about that last week, remember? Daniel goes on, but oh yeah, there it was. And that's what I thought. I'm looking for every chance Bush has to bend and break the rules, especially after all the talk about Hezbollah. Israel was just a proxy war with the Hezbollah-Israel war was just a proxy war with Iran. Daniel writes, so I'm not real confused. I heard it. It was a blip, then it was gone. And he goes on here. I don't know what to think anymore. I really don't. I just, I am as dazed and confused as you are. You know what I feel like? I feel like one of those steers or the cattle that walks up the plank into the Swift & Company slaughterhouse in, you pick the town. I went to one of those places in, not Valdosta, but what's the town we go through on our way to, not Tifton, it's over in, in one of those South Georgia towns that nobody really cares about anymore, I guess. I went to a slaughterhouse there one night, and I watched what happens to the animals. And so many of them, when they get the, this was a long time ago, this was 18, 20 years ago, when they get the hammer on the forehead, some of them die or get stunned immediately, and then when the sticker comes along and cuts their throats, they're too dazed and confused to realize it. But some of these animals, Moultrie, Georgia, some of these animals, when they get the hammer on the head or the electric bolt or the air-compressed bolt shot into their brains, they're still conscious. And I swear to God, that's how I'm beginning to feel, like I've been slammed on the head with something, just hammered. And I'm still walking around, and I still have my thought processes, and I still know that 2 and 2 equals 4, it still does. And when I hold up my whole hand and put it in front of my face, yeah, there's 5 fingers there. It's not 4 yet. It's not 6. But I just feel dazed and confused. Like, what the hell is going on? Didn't we back in November say, look, we want out of this? You rotten bastards in Washington who got us into this, in the Republican Party, you murderous bastards, we want out. We want to come home. We want our boys and girls home. We want to stop this. And this pig is going to go on the air Wednesday night and talk about, where's he going to get the 20,000? Well, what do we have in Afghanistan? 18? What happens when we pull 10,000 troops out of Afghanistan? You want to see a surge? There's where there's going to be a surge, only it's going to come from the Taliban. This has got to stop. I watched the other night, Sunday night, last night, we're laying in bed. And I watched a rebroadcast on Fox. I decided I was going to try to watch it. The new Sean Hannity program, it's Hannity One-on-One, and he had Cindy Sheehan on. And this evil little pissant, Hannity, sits there with a woman who is truly heroic and tries to grind her down because of statements she made when she was in Venezuela with Hugo Chavez. I swear to God. It's a brand new $150 television. I just wanted to smash it up against the wall. It's incredible. And then somebody sent me the video of Bill O'Reilly calling Sansara Taylor of The World Can't Wait a lunatic because she's hammering the evil bastard with facts and truth. You can watch it. If it's not at Media Matters, it's at Truth Digest, truthdig.com or .org. I don't know. Truth Digest, you'll find it. There's Sansara Taylor, who's been on this program. A bright, personable, politically dedicated young woman. I don't give a damn if World Can't Wait has ties to Communist Party USA. I really don't care. There she is hammering Bill O'Reilly with absolute truth in short, clear, concise, monosyllabic sentences. And this evil, loofah-loving bastard is sitting there until he finally calls her a lunatic. He says, you're a lunatic, because she's telling the truth. I don't know what's going on. But I feel like one of those hogs walking up the ramp, a Swift & Company, or a steer at armor, you know, just getting ready to, you know, just been hammered across the forehead, only it wasn't quite enough to stun me into unconsciousness. And I feel like the sticker is coming for me. The sticker. Isn't that a nice name? The sticker. That's the guy with the curved knife. Jesus. I want to, let's do this Pelosi one first. Let's get this in right now. This is from Face the Nation yesterday. Bob Schieffer asked Nancy Pelosi what the plan is for the Democratic leadership if Bush tries to send more troops to Iraq. Schieffer says, Madam Speaker, what are you going to do if the president announces he's going to expand the size of the force in Iraq, as many are suggesting he's going to do?
If the president chooses to escalate the war, which is contrary to, the will of the American people, they have spoken on the subject, but even the advice of his own generals, in December, General Abizay testified before the Senate that in his conversations with General Dempsey and with General Casey, they believe that adding more troops will not improve the situation there. And so he's not listening to the generals, the president isn't, and he's not listening to the American people. We, as their representatives, are trying to engage in dialogue with the president to find some common ground to reach an end to the situation.
Okay. With all due respect, Madam Speaker, dialogue with this son of a bitch? Common ground with George Bush and Dick Cheney? Common ground? When Bush says, you know, I listen to my generals on the ground, and the generals on the ground say don't send more troops, he lets the generals go! And Nancy Pelosi is going to deal with that? You want to engage in dialogue with this monstrous, this ignorant freak in the White House? I know a way to end the situation, Madam Speaker. Impeach him. And Cheney. That'll end it real quick. Might be the only way to stop this madness. Otherwise, I'm not too sure you can engage in dialogue and find common ground with a coked-out, delusional sociopath. What do you know that we don't know, Madam Speaker, huh? Going to find dialogue, engage in dialogue, find common ground. Oh, he's paying attention to you, isn't he? He's paying attention to the American people, the decider. The decider that only 29% of the American people even want to acknowledge this jackass's existence any longer. And you're going to dialogue and find common ground with this man? Who makes Dick Nixon in his darkest hours look like a rational leader? What are you going to do, Madam Speaker? And the question is an honest question, and maybe there's an honest answer. What are you going to do when this psychopath comes out Wednesday night and talks about 20,000 more troops going to Iraq? What then? You're going to dialogue with that? Do you think that that kind of a statement is open for discussion or rational thought or counterpoints or arguments against? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The famous Mr. Ray. It's important to capture the dynamism and therefore enhance the clarification or the greater precision.
We've never been stay the course.
We will stay the course until the job is done.
But we will stay the course.
We'll stay the course in Iraq.
And yet we must stay the course.
We're just going to stay the course.
We're going to stay the course in Iraq.
We'll stay the course.
We could only find 8 times where he'd ever use the term stay the course.
There to stay the course.
Stay the course.
We're going to stay the course.
Have the nerve to stay the course.
If we stay the course.
Enhance the clarification.
We're there to stay the course.
We stay the course.
We will stay the course.
And we've never been stay the course.
8 times.
We're there to stay the course.
Stay the course and help them succeed.
We stay the course.
Stay the course.
We'll stay the course.
Stay the course.
We're going to stay the course.
We must stay the course.
Stay the course.
We stay the course.
I understand the anguish that some feel about the death that takes place. But I grieve for every death.
Past the hour. All right, here's Pelosi again from Face the Nation yesterday. Schieffer went on and asked her to be more specific about what she and the Democratic Party could do to stop Bush's surging insanity. Schieffer said, so you've told him, Bush, what you don't want to do, and that is to expand the size of the force in Iraq, even on a short-term basis. But what if he decides to do just that? What will your action be then?
If the president chooses to escalate the war, in his budget request, we want to see a distinction between what is there to support the troops who are there now.
What?
The American people and the Congress support those troops. We will not abandon them. But if the president wants to add to this mission, he is going to have to justify it. And this is new for him, because up until now, the Republican Congress has given him a blank check with no oversight, no standards, no conditions, and we've gone into this situation, which is a war without end, which the American people have rejected.
Well, Madam Speaker, with all due respect, yes, the American people have rejected war without end. I would think any even marginally rational society would reject war without end. But, Madam Speaker, with all due respect, what the American people did, we had a no-confidence vote in these bastards not more than 3 months ago. No confidence. If this were a parliamentary system, Madam Speaker, you would be president. There is no longer any reason to continue this. And for God's sake, Madam Speaker, weasel words coming from you now, weasel words, I am still waiting to hear your answer to Bob Schieffer's question. What will you do? She says she'll probably continue to support funding the war with current troop levels, but probably would not support an increase or surge. What the hell does that mean? Where is the Democratic plan, cohesive and clearly articulated, to disengage and redeploy those troops out of Iraq, to bring them out of there? Oh, my God. So then Schieffer wants to know specifically. One more shot here. How Pelosi would stop Bush from escalating the war. Would she use the power of the purse to stop the war? Schieffer says, would you introduce legislation to simply cut off or to authorize on a case-by-case basis how the money is going to be spent in Iraq? Are you expecting from the president a supplemental to support the war effort, and you plan to stop that?
The fact is that any time the president has sent these supplementals, the Republicans have just turned it around, sent the money with no questions asked.
And those
here
days
we
are over?
Three quarters, almost 4 years later, hundreds of billions of dollars. This war cost $1 trillion if it ended now, but more important than that, the lives lost, the casualties sustained, the lost reputation in the world, and the damage to our military readiness. For these and other reasons, we have to say to the president, in your speech that you're going to make next week or this week, we want to see a plan. We want to see a plan and a new direction because the direction you have been taking us in has not been successful. So when the bill comes, it will receive the harshest scrutiny. What do we really need to protect our troops? What is there for an escalation? What is the justification for that? The president likes to say that he's not going to follow the advice of politicians in Washington, but generals on the ground. The generals on the ground have said that the escalation, the increased number of troops going in to Iraq will not be effective.
Then, Madam Speaker, with all due respect, why even consider his plan at all? Are you going to turn out to be just like the Republicans, Madam Speaker, with all due respect, and sit there and contradict yourself in a run-on sentence that goes for about 42 seconds? Are you going to take position A, and then position A minus, and then back to position A, and then back to position A minus? Bob Schieffer asked you a question. Oh, no. But on the other hand, maybe Nancy Pelosi has a plan. She's going to wait to see what this evil son of a bitch says on Wednesday night. Okay, that's good. I like plans. I like being a member of a party that has a reaction to what this evil, corrupt thug is going to say? Let's see. Let's just watch.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down.
America!
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. All right, this is the last Pelosi soundbite, again from Face the Nation on CBS yesterday. Schieffer tries to get to the heart of the matter and asks Pelosi about the Democrats' plan to get out of Iraq. Schieffer says, "Now, one of the things you said in the letter that you and Senator Reid sent to the White House was that we should begin a phased withdrawal in the next 4 to 6 months. How does that work? And what do you think will happen in Iraq, indeed, if the president adopts the suggestions that you have made?"
The situation could hardly be worse, and our young people are losing their lives. So what we're saying to the president is, again, speak truth to the Congress of the United States, more importantly, to the American people. Let us stipulate to a set of facts of what the conditions are on the ground there. We know that our troops' presence there, our troops are targets there. Over 1 year ago, Mr. Murtha talked about moving us over the horizon with a serious, responsible redeployment of our troops. That's over a year ago. We are now saying, again, let us begin in 4 to 6 months. Many lives have been lost in that period of time. A tremendous impact on the budget of the United States. Again, loss of reputation in the world and damage to our military readiness.
Okay, Madam Speaker, with all due respect, how do you begin the redeployment? You're the leader now of the People's House. Do you just pull our soldiers out? Do you go along with the nonsense of the Bush crime family about training Iraqi troops first? Oh, my God. Can you provide us with some clarification, Madam Speaker? We had a referendum in this country 3 months ago, and we made you Speaker of the House on the belief that you and the Democratic Party would take the first 100 hours not to bring about a health care plan, and God knows we need it, not to pull our seniors out of trouble with the prescription drug plan, God knows we need it, not to try to cut some of the, or reinstall some of these horrendous tax cuts for the wealthy, God knows we need it. Madam Speaker, with all due respect, we made you Speaker of the House based on the belief that you would end this in Iraq. Now, we can't have you, with all due respect, being as vague as Bush has been about the plan for Iraq. Please don't do this. You're saying that you are saying to the President of the United States, speak truth to the Congress and the American people? You can't be serious about this, Nancy. You really can't. Speak truth? This evil, half-witted son of a bitch is all of a sudden going to start speaking truth about Iraq? Or maybe it's just all for show. Maybe Nancy Pelosi knows exactly what she's doing. Exactly what she's doing. I hope that's the case. Maybe after Tuesday night, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and the Democratic Party leadership will make a stand and say, okay, this is it. We are beginning the impeachment hearings because this evil, murderous son of a bitch will not listen to anybody. He won't listen to the American public. He won't listen to the Democrats. He won't listen to the dissenters in his own party. He won't listen to the military commanders. He won't listen to the grunts out there dying. He won't listen to the anti-war protesters. He won't listen to foreign governments. All right. Maybe that's her plan. What do you think, Truth Seeker? Do you think that could be Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid's plan? Do you think their plan is to allow the Constitution of the United States to come into play? George W. Bush is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. He has violated his oath of office over and over and over again. Jesus Christ, even I can see that. Will he be convicted in the Senate? Probably not. So what? Make a stand. Jesus, God, make a stand. Yeah. Bob writes in from Groton, Mass. It hurts to see Bush and his cronies being treated with respect by the Democrats and his statements being treated as credible, as if in so doing they are showing respect to the nation and its institutions. All the while, Bush is defecating on the Constitution and on humanity around the world. History will record, if there's any history after the events to come, that they gave him a green light. They enabled what is to come. And, of course, Bob is referring to the Democratic Party. Well, I hope that's not the case. I hope there is a plan here. And I'm just too caught up in, what I do to see the plan. Or maybe it's just not available to us, the American public. You know, this is high-level stuff. This is closed session stuff. This is executive session stuff. You know, this is where they, we will take those questions behind closed doors because we don't want the American public to hear the truth. Oh, they piss me off when they do that. Don't they, you? Oh, it'll compromise American security. Oh, nonsense. What the hell could be said in a congressional hearing that would compromise American security? They're not going to sit there, these members of Congress, and say, tell us who our CIA assets are in Iran. No. That's what Cheney and Bob Novak will do, but the Democrats won't do it. Executive session. Okay, that's all. Can't let the American public hear this. It's their lives that are at stake. It's their children's lives that are at stake. But no, let's go. Executive session. Come on, boys and girls. Shut the door. Bastards. Moving very quickly here to Foxy the Snowman, this unconscionable twit who now runs the White House press briefing office. Today's press briefing, the crack White House press corps wanted to know about Bush's Way Forward speech Wednesday, and as always, Tony won't talk. This first reporter says, Tony, with the president's speech set for Wednesday night, I take it that the major decision has been made, is what's generally been out there, the 20,000 troops, just a...
Just, as I said, you'll have to wait. I'm not at liberty up here to make comments on news reports about it. As matters of courtesy to members of Congress and others who are involved in being notified, they will be notified before we'll be making any public announcements. I don't know precisely when the notifications will start, but not in today's news cycle.
Oh, you smart ass. Not in today's news cycle, huh? Matters of courtesy to members of Congress? What about matters of courtesy to us, the American public? Oh, never mind. What am I saying? So what can the silent snowman say about Mensa Man's Iraq policy? This reporter says, what are you expecting the American people to hear on Wednesday, Tony, that will change the mind of the majority of American people who don't want to see an open-ended escalation of troops?
Any sensible answer to that would require my discussing details that I can't give you right now.
Oh.
When you talk about something as tough and important as a war, it is important to take a good look at what the president is proposing, how it fits together, how it meets our national aims and objectives, and how it's going to make us safer.
Uh-huh.
I think at that point, you can have a debate about something far more than hypotheticals that are being brooded about, some of which are on target and some of which aren't. And I think, therefore, as frustrating as it is, my caution is wait till you see the whole package.
And be afraid. Be very afraid. How it's going to make us safer? There's only one thing that'll make us safer, you moron. Total withdrawal and massive apologies and reparations to that part of the Muslim world for what we have done. Apologize to all the archaeologists and historians around the planet for the destruction that we have dumped on that part of Mesopotamia. Maybe an apology for the depleted uranium that we have been dumping on that country for God knows how. Oh, never mind. Never mind. It's going to make us safer, huh? No, Tony, nothing, nothing is going to make us safer. We're going to have stinky air in New York City and plastic explosive going off in Miami and weird stuff in Austin. What happened in Austin today? What was the deal in Austin? Well, that's right. And as kind of a footnote to everything else, did you know that U.S. warships launched airstrikes against Somalia today?
People stop and stare. I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone.
Under the dictator, prisons like Abu Ghraib were symbols of death and torture. America will fund the construction of a modern maximum security prison. When that prison is completed, detainees at Abu Ghraib will be relocated.
Yeah, when's that going to happen? You, oh, never mind. This is from Amy. Mike, I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I have to listen to you online. Not for very much longer. I am doing what I can do. I teach yoga, I listen to progressive radio, read books and magazines to be informed as possible. For the past 2 months, I've been volunteering 3 or 4 hours each week with a local peace committee from American Friends Service Committee. This past holiday season, I made up packets of 10 U.S. postcards, included names and addresses, both local and in Washington, of our U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen, congresspeople, plus for Senator Harry Reid and Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi in the White House. Phone calls get rerouted to voicemail, email gets tallied by an intern, letters and envelopes have to be cleared in case they hold anthrax. Postcards seemed the simplest way to get a message to them. The postcards cost a total of 26 cents, including the postage. I asked my relatives if they would fill out and send the postcards, asking that our troops be brought home, that our soldiers had done all that we had asked. Most took the packet, promising to send the postcards. My Republican, Bible-toting, insurance-selling brother first glared at me so hard I thought he was going to explode. He finally exhaled, unpursing his lips, and said, "Well, this is what makes our country great. Everyone is free to say what they want." What I wrote in my letter with the postcards follows. Here it is. President Bush said he wants to send 15,000 to 30,000 additional U.S. troops to Iraq. They are talking of stop-lossing those soldiers that are in Iraq now, keeping them longer than the current tour. Some of our soldiers are on their second, third, even fourth rotation. Our representatives in Washington have not heard us. The Iraqi people do not want our soldiers there. The Iraqi people have voted. They have written a new constitution. They have selected a prime minister 3 times. They have tried, convicted, and sentenced Saddam to death. Our representatives in Washington, D.C. are not listening to the Iraqi people. Our soldiers cannot keep the Iraqi people safe. They cannot even protect each other. They have done all that was asked of them. It's time to bring them home. Please join me in sending a postcard to each of our representatives and senators and to Senator Harry Reid and Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, even on to Bush. Please ask them to truly practice peace on earth. Mike, I will continue to do what I can, no matter how little that effort may seem to others. Well, bless you for doing it, Amy. Back to the press briefing today. Another reporter asked how Bush can be so out of touch with reality that the American people do not want a surge, did not want escalation, that they voted against his policy in the last election, yet Bush presses onward with his delusional plan. The question is, Tony, the president's previous commanders on the ground who were just replaced said publicly they didn't think additional troops would help. Leaders of Congress who are Democrats don't think additional troops will help. A number of Republicans don't feel additional troops will help. The president is isolated, Tony, in terms of the Iraqi policy, and he seems to be among the few who think that this step or any step can actually result in victory. I'm wondering, Tony, where his mindset is, how he arrived at this point in doing something that remains quite unpopular. Who, besides the president, thinks that the war is winnable at this stage?
I would warn against the theme that the president's isolated. I think what you have to do is to take a look at the whole package and how it fits together, because I think Americans are concerned. They want to know questions that often ask. What does it mean? What is your military objective? Precisely what is it? I think millions of Americans believe that this war is winnable and think furthermore that it's important to rebuild the sense of political unity. But one of the things the president's often said is the only way we lose is if we lose our will.
Will to do what? Our will to do what? What? What package? Oh, my God. He would warn against the theme that the president is isolated? Warn? What? Are you going to smack us if we say that, Tony? Is there a penalty? Your man is in a bubble. And it's full of hydrochloric acid fumes. He's out of his mind, Tony! You warn against the theme that the president's isolated? What does he say? There are millions of Americans who believe this war is winnable? Really? Where are they? Who are these people? How do you win this war? Oh, that's right, nuclear weapons. I'm sorry. Tony Snow says it's important to rebuild the sense of political unity. You mean go back from before the Clinton impeachment? Is that what you mean? You rat bastard, you? Is that what you mean? One of the things the president has often said is the only way we lose is if we lose our will. Will to do what? I ask you again, Tony. I know you don't listen to this program. I know I'm just talking into the smoke here, but I just wonder what the hell you mean. I'm still allowed to wonder that, right? Well, I have two more here, and we're running out of time. So, for this hour, when we come back, we're going to do these last two, and then we're going to go to your phone calls. Oh, by the way, according to the Telegraph of the UK, MI5, the UK's secret service organization that doesn't exist, MI5 is going to start sending emails alerting the public to the prospect of an imminent terror attack now. Starting tomorrow, MI5, their website, will provide a free registration service. They have a website, but they don't exist. For those wanting the latest information in the UK about the threat level, I guess we could log on too, couldn't we? Subscribers entering their email address will receive a message with the words, MI5 News Update, whenever there is a change. The government and MI5 were previously skeptical about putting the threat levels into the public domain because they do not tell anyone what to do with the information. They don't tell you to go buy plastic sheeting and wood chunks and water. There were fears in the UK that these alerts would cause panic without helping to stop an attack. But ministers in the UK were persuaded that greater transparency was preferable, and the threat levels have been publicly available on MI5's website since last August. So if you really want to have your privacy penetrated, go to MI5's website in the UK and sign up for a terror email.
Hey,
Welcome back. Okay, let me do a phone call here because James has been holding on for 2 hours. James is calling from Oklahoma. James, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey.
I've been hanging on quite a while.
I know you have.
I've got a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
Nothing. None of them too serious.
All right.
What happened to Rita?
She's around. She's around. She'll be joining the program again. Rita Cosby, she'll be back.
Yeah, I get a kick out of her.
Yeah, me too.
And let's see, what was the other question? Second of all, I love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you too.
Well, third of all, my dogs are barking. I guess
yeah.
Cops are here.
The cops are there.
Yeah. I took that Placidil I had in the freezer I had left over from college.
Oh, no.
I see how Rehnquist got so screwed up. Boy, those things are bad, aren't they?
They really are. Placidil is just something you never want to take, ever, unless you're really crazy.
Well, I was that to start with, but it doesn't help to have another one.
It didn't help at all, did it?
So right, I think yeah. I'll run for president.
Yeah, well, you might get elected.
Oh, what I called you about originally, a long time ago.
Yeah.
They started the football game a while ago.
Ohio State?
And Florida.
And who's winning?
Well, who came out on the field? John McCain.
No.
So that's why, to flip the coin.
Oh, my God.
So that's what I'm calling you for. I need donations for a new TV. I pulled an Elvis shot behind.
Did they applaud him or boo him or just ignore him?
I don't know. I shut it off. I said, God damn, there's holes in the walls, Mike.
I understand.
I don't have anything against Vietnam veterans, but this guy is.
I know. Don't.
He's crazy.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
It's hard. I know it's hard. I know it's hard.
Well, it's just an honor to talk to you.
No, it's all my privilege, James.
Because I've listened to you for years and years.
Well, thank you.
Well,
I appreciate it. I wish we could get on a radio station in Oklahoma, but there's two chances of that happening. Slim and none.
We're not all rednecks down here.
No, I know you're not. Just the people own your radio stations are.
Yeah, they're a bunch of assholes.
Oh, no, you can't say that now. No, you can't say that word. You know, we let the other one go, but you can't say that one. Anyway, thanks. Thanks for checking in, James. I appreciate it. Email here from Chris, who's stuck in Texas. He says, hi, Mike. You and I both are going to have aneurysms if we don't calm down a little. I'm really trying to have a little teensy-weensy, itsy-bitsy crumb of hope for the future. And although I am as frustrated by the Democrats as you are, they have only been in office for, what, 5 days or so? Miracles only happen in Jesus' land, remember? Think if you or I were judged on our careers on the basis of the first few days we were on the job. We just have to cut them a little break right now, don't you think? I sure wouldn't want their jobs. Democrats are harder on their own sometimes than on the real enemy. Personally, I think the two most important issues we need to take care of are the media and voting machines. These issues are at the core of this whole mess. Until television in particular starts paying attention to a majority of the American people, I really don't know how America can survive. God, I hate Republicans. Keep on trucking. Chris, stuck in Texas. Yeah, I know. If you and I were judged on our careers on the basis of the first few days, right, we'd probably been fired a long time ago. But come on, Chris, these people have been on the job forever. Nancy Pelosi is not some naif who just wound up in Washington. Neither is Harry Reid. They've been there for a long time. As far as being in positions of power, I'm not sure when Pelosi first got elected to the House, nor Reid to the Senate, but they understand it. I respect what you're saying, Chris, and I know I'm going real hard on the Democratic Party, and a lot of folks listening to this program don't like that. But I keep trying to hedge my bets by saying but maybe, just maybe, this is what Nancy is going to do. You know, she's going to sandbag a little bit. She's going to wait and see what this psychotic bastard is going to come up with on Tuesday night. If that's the case, God love her.
Hey, Mike. What happened to James? James was just there, and then did he say a bad word?
James had to go.
What happened? Was it the S word? Or was it a really, really bad word like...
No, that's all
like
right.
Weight Watchers or...
No.
Liberal. How bad was it, Mike? And how did that make you feel?
I understand, Rita. I understand.
I don't like bad words.
Okay. All right, Rita. Thanks. Good to see you again, by the way.
Ruin my appetite.
All right. Thanks, Rita.
Was it about worms? I like worms.
This is from Jack. The subject line is, it's out of control, Mike. Jack writes, I truly wish these subliminal messages that we're hearing from the sociopath Bush were the only sounds of the low spark of high-heeled boys. That's a good sentence. Then I wouldn't be so worried, Mike. It's getting scary. Bush's speech Wednesday will be yet another smokescreen to assuage the American sheeple before the second phase of PNAC's plan, an attack on Iran. The second phase of hegemony is enacted. Iran will be the next step on Bush's Axis tour. Sadly, there isn't a damn thing we can do. It is out of control. It's a Middle East takeover, whether Americans like it or not. Pure insanity. Who exactly is going to prevent an attack on Iran? Tucker Carlson? It's treason, plain and simple. If only the American people truly understood how deranged this dolt Bush and his sycophants are, and how connected America is to the hip of the Israeli lobby, then we'd have a chance. And if Bush were just half the man Nixon was, God help the country. Take care, Jack. Okay, Jack. Foxy the Snowman, the briefing today. Yet one more reporter wants to know why Bush thinks his new plan will succeed when all the others have failed. Reporter says, Tony, one of the things in the old plan is you stand up Iraqi troops, you stand down. That didn't work. Since there are limitations as to what the United States can do in Iraq, much of this rests on the shoulders of the Maliki government and others within the Maliki government. How can the White House say with certainty that what the president will unveil is, in fact, a way forward for Iraq? And is the president going to discuss specifically how we get out of Iraq?
What you're asking is, does the president have a crystal ball that will project with absolute clarity what's going to happen in the future? Of course not. And what happens with any plan is that you do have to make adjustments when the other side adjusts. But on the other hand, he will talk about ways of addressing these concerns that reflect a lot of serious thought on the part of a lot of people in the region and outside. We've done consultations with Congress, with members of the military, with foreign heads of state, with the Iraqi government, with leaders throughout Iraq, with scholars, with people who agree and disagree. There's been a lot of time and effort put into trying to figure out how do you try to set the conditions that are going to enable you to move forward so that you have an Iraq that can stand up on its own. And I am going to remain vague on this until the president's done his announcement, and then we can go in and you can take a look and ask precise questions about precisely what he wants.
Oh, Jesus, shut up. What you're asking is, does the president have a crystal ball? Of course not, Tony says. He didn't, Tony Snow, he didn't have a crystal ball or an exit strategy or a consideration for our global reputation or decimating an ancient civilization or killing thousands of Americans or maiming tens of thousands of Americans or killing tens of thousands of Iraqis or putting the U.S. trillions of dollars into debt. What? Tony says, we've done consultations with Congress, with members of the military, with foreign heads of state, with the Iraqi government, leaders throughout Iraq, with scholars. Yeah, and they all say the same thing, you dumb bastard. They all say, get out! But on the other hand, with all those consultations, it ought to be the perfect plan when Bush delivers it. Right, Tony?
They granted you a final wish. Would you ask for something? Like another chance, or something similar as this. Don't worry too much, it'll happen.
It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there, what, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not.
But this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war...
Very quickly, Dave in Western Massachusetts writes, I hope the Democratic plan is not to sit back, let the Republican bastards sink themselves for the next 2 years in the hope that it makes the Democrats a shoo-in in 08. Good plan, but for one thing, our men and women are dying in the meantime, and our world is spinning toward disaster. Yeah, I hear you. George in Seattle writes, Mike, somebody has to explain to Nancy Pelosi that George Bush doesn't want to fix the mess he's made in Iraq so he can leave. Rather, he wants to subdue the Iraqi people so he can stay and steal the oil. Victory to George Bush means stealing Iraq's oil and establishing permanent U.S. military bases to make sure the oil stays stolen. The only way we're going to get Bush out of Iraq is either cut off the war money or impeach the dumb bastard. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to do either one. What the F is up with that? Yeah, well, see, that's what I mean. People like George and me, who, I don't mean to speak for you, George, but I don't think either one of us are geniuses. I don't have a PhD, do you, George? But we know damn good and well that George Bush does not want a way to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. Who's kidding whom here? My God, do we really think that Bush is looking for a way out? Oh, God. Last soundbite. Foxy the Snowman at the briefing today. Finally, this reporter gets smacked down by the silent snowman for asking a, get this, a look-back question. A look-back question. That's what it's called. Tony won't answer those either. But anyway, the reporter says, Tony, this thing has been in the works for months now, this change in strategy, and there have been a lot of personnel changes. Can the public, watching and listening and reading about this on Wednesday night, expect that this is going to be the last big change in strategy that the president is going to make in his final 2 years? And is he going to leave this for the next person?
I don't know. Ask me in 4 years. Or maybe 2 years. I mean, what you're asking is, you know, you're asking a look-back question rather than saying, well, this is the last big speech. This is the president's this is the president's proposal for moving forward in a way that he believes is going to be conducive to producing the results. All I can tell you is that the president is going to be talking about a way forward that can help address the concerns about sectarian violence, developments within the country, the need for economic growth, political reconciliation, national security, Iraqi responsibility.
Will this be with the president through the end of his administration? Is he going to be the next person?
That's a look-back question. You know, if this could be over tomorrow, we would devoutly wish that were possible. No, it is looking forward, but Peter, I'm afraid I just don't have the God's eye view that would tell me how the situation's going to unfold in months to come.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you don't have the God's eye view? Of course you do. Go ask George. God talks to George, Tony. What the hell are you talking about? You don't have the God's eye view. With the God's eye view that George has, it's a look back, a look forward, a look up his own rear end, any place you want to look, Tony.
What I think is annoying is he said a few minutes ago, well, I don't have a crystal ball to look into the future. So someone asked him about the past. He said, well, that's a look back question. Let's talk about the future. So, well, you don't answer any of them.
Kathy, calm down.
The past.
What? Do I need to go take another positive? I got to get over this cold.
You get way too upset, Kathy. I mean, you know, you get too riled up. Let's do some phone calls here. Who's been... Oh, my God. Matthew's been holding on for 2 hours. Matthew, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Man, we're all stuck in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Even those of us who live in Georgia, we're stuck in Texas, too. Yeah.
Well, look at the president. Look where he's from.
I know. Oh, God.
Today's been a weird day. And not just the the weird smell in New York. I mean, I'm getting reports, not reports, but stories that a United States submarine has collided with a Japanese ship again.
Yeah, the last time that happened, if you remember, it was a bunch of people from Enron who were joyriding on a U.S. submarine, and nobody was ever held responsible, of course, and the submarine came up and hit a Japanese fishing boat that had students on it, and I think three or four students drowned, and the Enron bastards just, oh, well, you know, they were in our way. We're masters of the universe. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, sir, I do.
Hey, hold on a second. I got to do a break here, and then we'll come back, Matthew. Holding on is not a big deal for you since you've been holding on for 2 hours. But we'll come right back after this break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
I think I have. Oh, by the way, Tony Blair refuses to match the U.S. escalation in Iraq, according to the Daily Mail of the U.K. In today's edition, today being the 8th of January, Tony Blair will make clear this week that Britain is not going to send more troops to Iraq, even if the U.S. pushes ahead with a, quote, surge, end quote, of 20,000 extra soldiers. The Prime Minister will insist that the U.K. will stick with its own strategy of gradually handing over to the Iraqi army, as it has been doing with success in Basra and the south. Really? I wonder what that strategy is. Is there any chance Bush could do that? Well, of course not. Because Bush is not interested in getting us out. The Daily Mail goes on to say, Mr. Blair, in a rare distancing from White House policy, has been keen for Britain to be seen to be acting under its own initiative. Oh, okay. Chancellor Gordon Brown said yesterday that as Prime Minister, he would conduct a foreign policy based firmly on British interests. I wish the U.S. could do that where it concerns the state of Israel. Base our foreign policy on our interests, not our oil interests, but our interests where it concerns the United States as a sovereign nation that better get its ass out of situations that is draining its blood. But never mind. All right, Matthew in Bedford, I believe, was holding on all that time, right, Matthew?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
It's all good.
All right, go ahead, Matthew.
By the way, in case you were wondering, in regards to the college football game, Florida is ahead 34-14.
You're kidding.
Actually, no, they just got a touchdown just this second, so it's now 40-14.
Over Ohio State?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for the update.
Anyway, as if that has anything to do with the world.
Yeah, don't you wish it did have something to do with the world? I sure do. I wish that the most important thing you and I had to talk about tonight is the Ohio State game. But no, never mind.
Yeah. But as I was saying, today's been a pretty weird day. The dead birds that have been turning up in my state. Okay.
What have the authorities down there concluded about that weird story?
They haven't, as far as I know. They're just like a couple dozen birds just dropped dead.
Right.
And that's got me just a little bit worried. But then again, I've been worried for the past 8 years, so nothing different.
Yeah.
And then there was the the fires. I can't remember what in Miami, I think. And of course, guess who we're bombing now?
Yeah. Somalia.
Somalia!
Yeah, that's
it's
nice.
Like blast from the past, isn't it? You know, I think I'm starting to see a pattern here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but every time Bush gets bored, he bombed something.
It seems like that, or if he gets cornered,
yeah.
or if all of a sudden there's too much pressure, or if his father calls him up and says, "Don't worry, son, mine is still bigger than yours."
Yeah. So now we are blowing the bejesus out of Somalia, and I really do wonder how this will affect Bush's opinion poll ratings. Because this is a so-called attack on al-Qaeda in Somalia, and, you know, for everybody else who's normal, we know, oh, okay, this is just him blowing smoke or blowing people to pieces. But, I mean, I wonder, and I do wonder, what this will have effect on the country, if any.
Well, this is what the Bush machine does now. Anytime they bomb, strafe, or attack somebody, it's because al-Qaeda is there, and they're going after al-Qaeda, and this makes the Bush crime family continue to look like, defenders of American freedom. There's about as much al-Qaeda in Iraq as there is in Detroit. In Somalia as there is in Detroit. It's insane. Everything about this administration is madness.
Well, maybe soon we'll start hearing from the White House that we need breathing room, as Hitler said in 1939.
That's right. He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for your comments tonight. I appreciate it, Matthew. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Byron is calling from California. Byron, thanks for holding on. Hey, Byron.
Hey. Yeah, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, I got something for you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Love those air horns.
Yeah. Hey, this guy is, I don't know where to get started. I don't want to bust your bubble. I heard on a show this morning this Nancy character, you forgive me if I forget her name,
yeah.
Conservative Democrat from Kansas, was on some show, and a guy asked her why she's supporting this war when there was a referendum against it in November. She said, well, the people should have thought about that before they elected him, not once, but twice. I felt like slapping this bitch.
Oh, listen, I saw that. That was a woman who was elected to the U.S. House. I forget from where. The whole little bit, she was interviewed, I think, on Nightline by ABC's their anchor guy, and they played it again this morning, and it's out there on the internet now. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Anyway, Malloy, you get fired more than I do, and that's quite an accomplishment. I bought Sirius Radio to begin with, and they kicked you off of there, or they'll hold the whole network. And then I bought XM, and then they kicked you off of there because, you know, I know why you did. And then now I had to buy Sirius back again. So now I got both of them in my truck. But anyway, I'm following you. I've been listening to you for 20 years, give or take a decade. And, you know, I'm all for you. And I want to leave you with the same quote I left you with the first time I called you years ago. It's just as apropos today as it was then.
Okay.
There you go, man. Keep as cool as you can.
Right.
Make piles of trials with smiles.
It riles them to believe that you perceive the web they weave.
That's right, man.
And keep on thinking free.
Keep on thinking free, my friend. And, I love your show. I'm still out here. I listen. I don't call that much anymore because you got, you know, all the millions that are listening to you all over the world. So,
yeah, right.
But I'm out here.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's always good to hear from you, Byron. And I know, you're right. You've been calling this program and listening to this program since God was a teenager, and I do appreciate it.
Well, I'm not going to leave you. I'm staying with you, buddy. I'm right there where you're at, and these guys scare me. These Democrats, they've only been in power for 3 days, and they're still acting like they're second bananas, you know.
I know.
You know, it just makes me scared. But I'm willing to give him a month. I'm willing to give him a month.
Yeah.
I mean, Boehner. You know, 5 minutes after Pelosi was sworn in the other day, it wasn't 5 minutes. Boehner was already bitching about, well, you're not going to treat it. You know.
Hey, we're losing you, Byron. We lost you, Byron. Oh no, we lost him completely. All right, Byron. Thanks, pal. I appreciate it. But you must have hit a. Either an IED or a
bad cell for your phone. I hope it was the bad cell. Now, that was a crappy thing to say, wasn't it? You know what I mean. Thanks, Byron. Byron has been hanging on to this program for years. Wouldn't have been for Byron, we probably would have been out of business years ago. Mina is calling from St. Paul, Nebraska. Hey, Mina.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Kathy. First of all, I called a couple nights ago and you said something about, what's the origin of Mina? It's Danish.
It's Danish?
Yes. My grandmother was Otta Mina, and in Dane, it's spelled M-I-N-E. But, you know, you have that here in the States, and everyone says, oh, that's mine.
Well, you know, I had, after asking that question a week or so ago when you called in a couple weeks ago, I had just a bunch of people who sent me links to the origin of the name Mina. All of them, they were all different. They were all interesting. And it was real education. Apparently, the name is common in various cultures and languages. And it was just a lot of fun to read everything everybody sent, though.
See, my great-grandmother was Rasmina.
Yeah?
And I'd like to give you a little update on Iraq, because I have a friend over there.
Okay.
And the Army has cut back on what they're spending over there. So do you know where they're doing their cutbacks?
Where?
Food. He's doing 18-hour shifts of guard. And when he gets off guard duty, he goes to get food, and there is none.
Well, now, you know, it's not the Army that's providing the food. That's Halliburton.
Right, but they're getting paid for it, but there's no food. So all this kid wanted for Christmas was food.
Soup?
Food.
Oh, food.
Food that he could put into a microwave and eat, like ramen noodles and things like that. And now, when I talked to his mother yesterday, I said, how's he doing? I don't want to use names.
Yeah.
And she said, well, he was doing really bad because right after the execution of Saddam, his base was mortared for 3 days straight.
I don't remember reading about that in the paper either.
It was never in the paper. And now he contacted her and he said, Mom, I got flashlights but no batteries.
Oh, my God.
So she has sent batteries over.
Hey, hold on a second. I'll come back to you. Hold on.
Okay.
Nina.
Baby, you're lost. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting. Fighting for the love.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Yeah, that's a real macho of you. Okay, back to Mina real quick. Mina, go ahead, wrap it up for me. Mina?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hey, go ahead, wrap it up for me.
Okay. I want to tell you one other thing. We just survived the ice storm of 2006-2007, 5 days without electricity.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad you... I'm glad that's the case. If you hadn't survived it, you wouldn't be calling me.
You got it.
All right, thanks.
We love both you and Kathy. Keep it up.
Thanks, Mina. Take care. Take care.
Bye-bye. Appreciate
you calling. And thanks to the crew for the program tonight. Everybody. It's always the same group. Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix, and Anseld. Answered your calls. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall is still our webmaster, thanks to the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. Ben Birch, White Rose Society, archives the program. And Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Alan is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just sit around here, you know. Each day is another amazing trip down the yellow brick road, isn't it?
It's getting weirder and weirder.
And I'm watching astonished as an entire nation, a supposedly proud nation with a long democratic history, is sitting around wondering what this one man is going to say.
I know.
Doesn't that say that we already have a dictatorship?
It sometimes feels that way. He is, whether we like it or not, and you and I don't like it, and millions of people don't like it, he is still, until the Democrats remove him, the so-called commander-in-chief. And
right.
I guess we don't have any choice, even in a free society, but to listen to this psychopath. But beyond listening to him, I my position is probably yours. Get him out of office. Remove him.
My question that I want to ask you is about this commander-in-chief business. Commander-in-chief means he's in charge of the armed forces, making tactical and strategic moves to the armed forces. But isn't that the use of the armed forces depending upon what the foreign policy is? And he doesn't set foreign policy. Theoretically, that position anyway.
Well, I mean, you're right. I certainly am not going to argue with you. You're right. But I mean, I don't see where I have any choice, even though it's madness, but to sit around and wait until Wednesday night so we can hear this crap that's going to come dribbling out of his mouth.
No, I can give the slightest bit of credit to Pelosi and Reid and a few others for having said ahead of time that they think the policy of increasing the troops is bad. At least it's the first time they've said that ahead of time. That's about as far as you go. But as far as taking us down some other direction, just saying, no, there's no way this is going to happen. At some point, there's going to have to be a confrontation. And, if people don't understand that, I mean, at some point, you think that some people are going to put their foot down and say, that's not where we're going. You don't understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if you were elected and, president, mm-hmm. and I don't think he was, the word is president, which means preside. Preside does not dictate.
Yeah, that's true. And you're right about the eventually there is going to be a confrontation between the Democratic legislative leadership and the Republican executive branch. You're right. Unless,
or maybe even the people against the combined Congress.
Well, that's true, too. I was going to say, unless there is a complicit action on the part of the Democrat leadership and the Republican leadership, if that happens, then I would think that the American people will finally say that's enough and take the steps laid out by Thomas Jefferson 230 years ago.
At what point do we realize that, we should not having not should not be made to have to plead to a political party to please take our position, please, we who voted for it, would you please do what we say? At what point do you say, okay, enough, it's time for a party that does and
yeah.
wants the same thing we want?
That's true.
Anyway, keep up your stuff. It's great.
Okay, well, thanks. Thanks a lot for checking in. I appreciate your comments.
Bye-bye.
All right. Alan in Miami. Thanks, Alan. Very quickly, Candy in California. Candy, we just have a minute or so here.
Okay, I just want to welcome you back to Sirius at first.
Well, thank you, Candy.
Yes. Earlier when you were mentioning it's like America is in a sleep, I feel like I am asleep out here,
uh-huh.
I drive truck and every day I'm hearing stories and seeing pictures of our boys coming back badly, badly injured. They're so young. And, I don't even see why there's a discussion about this. The Democrats, they're going to sit here and work with the Bush? I mean, I don't understand that. That's not what we put them in there for. I feel like it's getting to the point that, America needs to wake up and we have to go in and remove them all, if that's the case.
I hear you.
I got all my children are that age, and I literally get sick out here, daily over this whole thing, and it's just getting crazier as the days go by. And it's got to stop. If it don't stop, it's got to stop yesterday,
Yes.
we're so deep in hatred throughout the world that that part is, I don't know if we ever can fix, but we got to do something. This is just getting outrageous.
It is indeed. Candy, I have to leave it there for tonight. Thanks. We'll talk again, okay?
Thank you, Mike. Have a good night.
You too. Take care. And thanks, everybody, for participating in the program tonight. However you did that, I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.